For McCudden Specialty Firearms in Messina, this is Chris Parks along with Grant Jelly, Cass and Adair County Conservation Officer, with another week of the Conservation Report here on KJAN. Good morning to you, Grant.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Well, we're getting, as we kind of talked before the program here, it's kind of dog days of summer here. Maybe activity kind of slows down a little bit. There's not a lot of those other type of outdoor seasons going on. We've got, of course, people still doing some boating and floating and kayaking, canoeing, those types of things. Still some fishing going on out there, but that may be kind of some of the extent of the outdoors type activities that we usually talk about. But still some fun to be had out there, and of course we want people to be safe while they're doing it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like you said, this is kind of the time of the year where I almost dread as a conservation officer, because it's kind of a, what I think of as like a in-between transition between seasons. It seems like, you know, the fishing kind of slows down. People are kind of tired of the heat. And I think a lot of us are kind of looking forward to cooler weather and maybe a change in the seasons, and to start talking about hunting seasons here before long. But nonetheless, there's still some diehards that are still out there catching some fish. I talked to a gentleman last weekend at Lake Anita, and he was catching some crappie kind of out in the deeper parts of the lake, and using some different tactics to do that, so it can still be done. Catfish are biting in the creeks and streams, and there's plenty of that action still going on. So it's not a complete end to fishing, but you can kind of see that the passion is kind of slowly seeping out of folks with the heat.
Yeah. Well, one thing that we do want to, I guess, just keep people noted of, and they probably have seen some different things out there here recently, it gets to be this time of year where also you get some of those hot days and the water's maybe a little bit more stagnant. We start to get some of those water quality issues out there at different beaches and recreation areas. And water quality can be an issue if you're going to be doing any swimming at beaches and that type of stuff. So a good idea to always pop onto the DNR's website. They do a good job of keeping track of those major park beach areas and what the recent water quality testing has been.
Yeah, that's a good tip there. Just go to the DNR's website and look up the particular area that you might be interested in picnicking at, or doing some swimming at the beach. And I know there's a lot of water testing that goes on weekly throughout the state at some of the different impoundments. Something else you could do is maybe just call the park office or the number on the website and speak to someone direct. I know kind of in the news recently has been the Lake of Three Fires Beach has been closed down due to the kind of a rare amoeba that's been found in the waters down there. And, you know, it's just one of kind of many things that kind of plagues our waters this time of the year, everything from E. coli to, I know a lot of pet owners are concerned about the blue-green algae bloom when it starts to take effect this time of the year. So, yeah, there's a number of different things that you need to be on the lookout for. As always, you want to make sure that you're double-checking before you drive a long distance, especially with fuel prices the way they are now. But go to our website, and there's a lot of information that you can get before you head out there and enjoy a nice day on the water.
Yeah, good information to have for sure. Another thing that we wanted to throw out there is that you got an opportunity to do a little bit of reading now. The new regulation books have come out for folks to take a look at.
Yeah, they have. Usually we don't expect those until August 1st, but they are running a little bit early this year. And so the new 2022-23 Iowa Hunting, Trapping, and Migratory Game Bird Regulations booklets are out. You can pick up hard copies at most of your favorite vendors by now. You can also go to the DNR's website, and there's a PDF version that's been available there for about a week now that you can go directly to and get your information there. But, you know, like I always tell people in my 100 classes, you know, don't think you know the rules every year, because some things can slightly change. There can be some more restrictions. There can be some, opening of limitations on different methods and things like that. So, usually the first handful of pages there, there'll be a highlights and changes section, and it'll talk about any new regulation change that you might find within the regulations book. And so a good idea to go and kind of look that stuff over. There's a lot of information there on season dates and bag limits and things like that. And then, of course, a lot of deer hunters look forward to this date each year, but on August 15th is when deer licenses become available for sale for residents here in Iowa. And so you can go to the vendors or you can go to the website and order those there. Just as a reminder, you'll only be able to purchase one antlerless license until, I believe it's mid-September, and then you can begin purchasing what's left over. But yeah, August 15th is kind of the time where people look forward to, and I guess it might be kind of the official start to hunting seasons there, where we have a lot of seasons, especially bird seasons, begin opening up on the 1st of September. So it's not too far off. We're going to be thinking about that stuff here and looking forward to doing some outdoor activities like hunting.
Yeah, and if folks are interested in getting into some more of that stuff that'll be coming around the corner, if you're somebody maybe that isn't super experienced at different hunting seasons or different types of hunting, the DNR does offer some nice opportunities to be able to learn a little bit about different types of seasons. You said you were involved here recently in a opportunity for some virtual sessions, some learn to hunt sessions that are available online, and that's stuff that's open to and available to everybody.
Yeah, that's something that we've kind of been doing for the last couple years, and it's become extremely popular since COVID was kind of part of our lives, to do these virtual training sessions. And so what we've been doing the last few years is we offer these virtual learn to hunt courses, and it's basically on a Zoom platform, and you can go to our website and sign up for these things. There's no cost to them, and you can enjoy them right there from the comforts of home. They're a fun little event. They're typically pretty short, and they're kind of geared towards people who have little to no experience in hunting or trapping or whatever the program is about. And last week I was part of one that was on learning to hunt doves in Iowa. And so we basically spent a couple of hours where we get a lot of good information from biologists. They, tell us about the habitats of doves, their habits, characteristics, things like that. I spent a good portion of the event talking about the regulations and some of the requirements that a person needs in order to start as a dove hunter. And then usually we follow it up with someone from a non-government organization, whether it's Pheasants Forever or backcountry hunters and anglers, and they talk about their favorite tactics and tips that they give out. And we try to do a little bit of information on processing the game and recipes that can be used to cook the game. And so it's kind of a crash course on that stuff. And of course, you're not going to leave there that night or shut your computer down that night being an expert dove hunter or hunter of any sorts for that matter. But it's just kind of a good starting point for someone. We give a lot of information that maybe you won't realize or know is available as a first timer. So for instance, we talk about the hunting atlas and the features that it has. We talk about dove plots and stuff like that. So again, a lot of good information, and these things are recorded, and so they're available kind of for viewing at any time throughout the year. But on August 4th, we're going to have a small game workshop where it's going to be focusing on rabbit and squirrel hunting. And so, if that's something that you're interested in, there's no age limit or age restrictions on these courses. You can sit down as a family and maybe watch them, or invite someone who might be wanting to get into hunting to kind of view it with you. and maybe you learn some few things there, and you don't have to be a first timer, I guess. That's, you know, you can have been doing it your whole life and maybe learn a few tips along the way.
Yeah. And I'm sure a good place maybe too to get a couple questions answered as well at the same time.
Definitely. Yeah. We kind of have a Q&A session where people can either, you know, ask sometimes live questions, or they can type in questions in the chat and we get all their information back to them and share it with the group. So yeah, there's a lot of good information shared there. And that is one thing that I do like about the virtual platform, is that, you know, maybe you might hit that audience that maybe doesn't have the means of getting to a location, or maybe they're strapped for time and this is something that fits better into their schedule.
Yeah, great opportunity. So keep those on the calendar. Again, that next one coming up there on August 4th. And check out, I'm sure, a list of information on when some more of those might be coming up, and the ones that you can watch back as well. Just a quick little reminder, too, for folks that are still out there on the water. We want to make sure that everybody's still being safe out there, having the proper life vests and number of life vests and all that stuff while they're out still on the water enjoying.
Yeah, definitely. I've kind of, seems like as the summer, you know, season, I guess, kind of wages on, we get a little bit of people sometimes getting a little bit lax on the regulations for boating requirements and kayaks and, you know, I've said this before, that sometimes people don't think or think of a kayak or a canoe as being an actual boat or a vessel, but you do have to have life jackets on board, available for, you know, any number of occupants that thing is rated for. If you're 13 years of age, I'm sorry, if you're under 13 years of age, you have to have a life jacket on while you're on the waters. So hate to see that sometimes, because they can be, you know, they can save lives. There's no two ways about it, and I tell people that all the time. We've had a number of drownings in the last couple weeks here across the state, and, you know, I don't know of anybody that was wearing a life jacket when those things mm-hmm. occurred. So, you know, they're just like seat belts. I always give that speech to people, is, you know, they're there for a reason. If you don't wear them, they don't do you any good. They don't do you any good back at the campsite or in the back of the truck or someplace where you can't get to them. So make sure you've got them there, and, you know, heaven forbid something bad were to happen, but they do help you in a time of need, that's for sure.
Definitely. Well, Grant, we appreciate your time again here this week, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thank you, Chris.
All right. That's Grant Jelly, Cassin Adair County Conservation Officer. I'm Chris Parks. Thanks to McCunn Specialty Firearms in Messina for another week of the Conservation Report.